The year of 2020 has finally come to a close. Finally. And Alex and I decided it was only right to recap this year by looking back at it holistically. What's happened? What good, bad, and indifferent things have happened throughout this year? And maybe we can make sense of it all. Not an easy task whatsoever. And this episode is definitely not a positive one. But hopefully through this reflection, we can all find something to look forward to in the year to come. Without further ado, episode 39 of The Transition. Welcome to The Transition, episode 39. Alex Kaprinsky, Demetri Williams, back in the studio for another episode. Soft intro this time. You guys weren't ready for it. Alex wasn't ready for it. He didn't know what I was going to do. It's like when the point guard's coming down and like you don't know if he's going to pass it or just lay it up in your face. And I decided to just lay it up in your face that time. off the, right hand, left foot. just very fundamental. What were you going to say?
I was just saying, my Wizards got a win against the Nets the other day. I just want to shout that out.
I saw that.
Yeah, just throwing that out there.
I saw that foolishness.
We're going against your C's, I think, in the next couple of days, actually. So next episode, we're going to be able to hash out those differences, I think.
Hash out those differences. The only reason they won is because Russ was on one team and KD was on the other team, and Russ just decided, like, yeah, I can't afford to lose this game this time. Sorry. I gotta show them who the better Oklahoma City Thunder was out of the two of us. But anyway, we're not talking about basketball in this episode. That was the previous iteration of The Transition. Go back and listen to those old episodes if you want to hear our old basketball takes that we used to do. But what we are going to talk about is 2020, a year in review. I guess we're going to call this kind of mini episode because we're only going to do the one half, the social relevancy random topic half of the show that we tend to do. Yeah, we're going to talk about 2020, all the stuff that happened in it to us, all the things that just happened to society as a whole, I guess we can say. We're not going to touch on every single thing, but the larger things that happened. But the larger things that happened, which I think we all know, the protests, the police brutality, the coronavirus, the politics, all that good stuff, the social unrest that was 2020. But Alex, before we get into that, of course, we're going to ask, how was your week? Well, actually, we're doing this on a Monday this weekend. Time around. So, how was your weekend, I should say? Weekend. I don't even know.
Very, very low-key, which was good. Watched a bunch of football, which was nice. Turned my brain off for 3.5 days and just kind of...
very nice.
Kind of went on cruise control.
Went on a trip, if you like.
Yeah, nothing too entertaining. I got back out on the tennis court, which was nice. I haven't done that in like a month and a half, give or take. I've had some shoulder and foot problems, so it was good.
Oh, really?
It was good to be able to do that again. So
things of being a pro athlete, you know, just always prone to injury.
Tough, man. Vitamin-sponsored athlete. It's really hard to it's hard to succeed out here.
Yeah, in like a few seconds, we're going to run a vitamin shot pre-roll on the or mid-roll on the podcast. Like, thank you for supporting this podcast. If you'd like to also shop Vitamin Shop, use code Alex Kaprinsky for 15% off at checkout.
15% off.
Yeah, 50% off. Get your vitamin water. Oh, my God.
How was your weekend, though?
It was good. I was gonna say, I feel like I don't even remember my weekend. It was just a blur. Doing a lot of just menial tasks. Like I had to clean, you know, had to drop off some dry cleaning, do some dusting, like, you know, just basic weekend stuff. I was getting back into. Probably did a workout or two, which was good. We've tapped into the perfect rhythm with the 4 days a week. So we've been going strong so far. We're going to see if we can keep it up this week. I may or may not work out after this podcast. Stay tuned for that. But TBD.
Yo, how's the new camera, by the way?
The new camera has been good. That's actually what I was also spending some time on over the weekend. I don't have a lens for it yet. I need to pick one of those up. But I've just been reading up on it, watching a bunch of YouTube videos, getting the photography juices flowing, all that good stuff. So that's been fun. And yeah, weekend was really chill. Monday came before I knew it, and I wasn't ready for it. Slapped me in the face this morning. I woke up late, but not as late as I sometimes wake up on Monday, so I'll take it. Only 10 minutes late.
Slack was down this morning, by the way.
Slack was down this morning. You saw that? Everybody got that IT alert, huh? Early in the morning, I was trying to invite people to a Zoom and use my shortcuts, and it wasn't working. I was like, what's going on here?
Bro, if Slack's taking a day off, I almost took the day off. I'm like,
honestly, if Slack's off, I'm off. Like, come on. They got bought by Microsoft, and they were just like, we got our bag. It's time to bring down the customer service level and service. But that was the day. And Monday's been pretty chill so far. Nice and relaxed. Not too busy at work. I think everyone's kind of easing back into it after the holidays, which is nice. You were saying a lot of people were off at your job, right?
Yeah. The kind of build up into 1-1 and 12/31 is kind of like a huge time for us.
Big time for you guys.
Yeah. Once that kind of ends, I think.
Big day.
Big day.
Would you say the one time about AirPods? Big fan.
Big fan. I love my AirPods.
Alex gave me the whitest pitch for a product I'd ever heard in my life the other day off recording, I guess I should say. And we're talking about AirPods. He's like, yeah, I got them for, a really good deal. Big fan, man. Big fan. I was like, who did you just turn into, for those 10 seconds? He, turned into my dad real quick. Wait, are you drinking out of two separate cups here? Or is that the same cup? Oh, I thought you got one with your right hand and one with your left hand. I was going to say, you're a scary human being doing what I thought you were doing. Not today. We're going to save that for the middle of the week. But yeah, so that's been our weekends, I guess we should say. And we're doing this one on a bit of an odd day. We actually recorded a full episode, which we might give you guys, maybe it's to be determined. We'll see what we do with the Playboy Cardi review that we did and talking about SZA and all that stuff. Maybe we'll just drop it randomly throughout the rest of the week as a bonus. Cause we still need to do our 2020 roundup of good albums, bad albums, good artists, bad artists, and kind of do our own kind of year end awards type of deal. But we're going to have to think about that for a little bit. I got to stew on my opinions and think about everything that came out this year. I can guarantee you guys that Playboy Cardi is not going to be in it, though. That's one thing I can tell you off the bat. But, yeah, so we're going to see how these episodes work out after this one drops on, if today is the 4th, I guess this is going to drop on the 9th, if I can do my math correctly. Alex, are you going to fact check me on that? All right, there we go. So it's going to drop on the 9th. Thumbs up. And then we'll see how we go from there. But consistency. We missed a week because of the holidays, because a Friday landed on Christmas. So we were like, we both could have done the Christmas episode, honestly.
I was ready to record.
Yeah, Alex was standing by and I just never hit him up. But no, we both weren't really doing anything. So we could have, but, I got to take a little break every now and then. We went 20 episodes strong in a row, which is kind of crazy, but I don't think it took us a good year and a half to record 21 episodes when we were originally doing this, but
we're basically at the original output, right?
For sure. I think we dropped 21 or 22 before we fell off the face of the earth, and now we're trying to slowly grind back up. But it's been good though. I love the restart. But yeah, so to get into 2020, so I guess there's kind of two sections of this. We can talk about our own personal experiences, and then we can kind of talk about general thoughts for the rest of the world. Which one do you want to do first, personal, or do you want to go general?
You want to go, I guess, micro to macro? You want to go personal and then more broad?
I like that theory as well. Micro to macro, and then we'll get started.
I think that makes sense, right?
That does. That's how I took it in college. I took micro first, then we bumped up to macro, got the myopic perspective, and then we got the full perspective. You like that, myopic? Yeah, we keep the vocabulary coming around here.
You're leading us off if you're using
that. I have no choice now but to be the first one. So 2020, what a year, eh? Pretty terrible one, as most people will probably attest to. I'm trying to stick with just myself, and then we'll talk about the world. So I'll keep my takes very personalized, I guess. Very, very myopic. but yeah, 2020 was, it started off actually pretty mediocre, I will say, because at the beginning of 2020, I had already graduated in 2019. So I was just floating in a sea of mediocrity, after college, because I graduated in May. 6 months later, I was still, jobless, just doing my thing, just being a vagabond. And then things only got worse to start off 2020, January, February, because I was like, oh man, I don't really know what I want to do. I'm not really sure where to go. Maybe I should move to Cambodia. All types of random stuff was just flowing around in my mind. And then Corona hit, and then it's like, okay, well, now you have no choices. Now you just have to stay inside and be poor and just do your thing. And as lighthearted as I'm trying to make this seem, it actually was very mentally, psychologically, whatever, I guess those mean the same thing, challenging to kind of get through those from maybe from February to kind of May or June was really a tough time. Tough time span, just seeing my friends going through their own kind of traumas and problems, me going through my own traumas and problems, the world going through its own traumas and problems. It's like you just couldn't turn anywhere for good news. It just felt like it was bad news bears every time you looked at the news. And then just even in your regular everyday life, you can't see your friends. You can't be close to anybody. I remember I started running during quarantine, which actually was one of my solaces that kind of helped me keep my sanity. And like I would be running on the sidewalk and someone else was running, and we would just do like this weird like divergence from each other to make sure we're 6 feet apart. And I'm just like, what is the world coming to? And you know, as we sit here at the beginning of 2021, obviously we all know that it didn't really get any better. It got worse, if anything. So yeah, it was rough. It was a rough year, but we did have an uptick though, because about a little over a year after I had graduated, I found the full-time thing that I'm doing now, which is actually a really good career path. So I who would have thought that I would have just found out of nowhere. It's weird because, and I was saying this to like my friends and family when I found out, I was like, oh, well, when everything that was fine in 2019, the economy was good. I couldn't find anything. And now 2020, when the world went like just terrible, now it ended up working out in my favor. But thankful for that, because that was good. And luckily I didn't go through any like major, you know, financial like straits or anything like that. Overall, I had a fairly solid quarantine experience, if I do say so myself. That's the beauty of saving, kids. That's why you always save. Always save. But yeah, in my personal life, I mean, creative stuff was kind of going along, trying to keep up with my other podcasts that I do, keeping up with the photography stuff that I'm interested in. And those kind of were the things that saved me, I guess, to a degree. It still was hard regardless of that. And I would, you know, some days I'll wake up, do nothing and go back to sleep and then do that for like, you know, 2 weeks at a time. But obviously I survived because I'm here today. And the second half of the year got better. I mean, after June, July, I think the year kind of started picking up a little bit. Like I had a structure, I had a job and something to do, people to interact with, even though it was, you know, workplace associates, but at least it was something, you know, someone to talk to on a daily basis, well, on 5 days a week or whatever. And I guess slowly we all started to get used to quarantining. I mean, it's still not fun, it's still not nice, but we started to get better at it, I guess, to a degree. So that kind of got normalized, which helped to just slot into a routine. I guess that's what it is. And it's kind of sad because you got into a routine of doing something that's terrible, of having to be separated from your friends and family. But I mean, to be honest, that's kind of what made it better, was when you kind of start to get used to things and the new normal, as everyone wanted to kind of coin it. The whole, I feel like, I don't know whoever coined the terms new normal and unprecedented, but they like set the tone for the entire like advertising and marketing world for 2020. Because everything you see is just, hey, we know it's not normal, but we still want you to come in and shop whenever you have your, it's just like, oh my God, like you guys are just taking advantage of the situation however you can. Like even when it's a tragedy, it's like, oh, well, you know, how can we flip this to make a profit? But then again, I mean, businesses are businesses. That's what they're going to do. That's what they're around for. But business is business. Anyway, getting sidetracked. And yeah, to progressing to the end of the year, the good thing was, and I said this when the holidays came up, I think on a previous episode, holidays are good times because everyone's kind of just, you know, everyone's kind of in a good mood for one reason or another. Like it's holidays. Like even if your life's shitty, you know, you just kind of, you suck it up because of the holidays and you think of the good times rather than the bad times. And the fact that you made it to the end of the year, especially in a year like this, where a lot of people passed away, unfortunately. So once it kind of hit October, November, December, we got the trifecta of Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. That helped me just coast to the end of the year. So started off terrible. Middle was also pretty terrible. Started to get better. And towards the end, now we're just kind of like, meh. So, you know, that's kind of the year in review. I wish I had more kind of interesting, cool achievements to talk about, but it was kind of a mulligan.
Yeah, run it back, right?
Yeah, pretty much. But run it back in 2021. Well, don't run it back with the coronavirus and all the other terrible things, but run it back in terms of, like, give me a second chance to do better. Yeah,
wipe the slate clean a little bit,
right? The slate clean, exactly. So that was my 2020. I'm not sure if you want to just dive right into yours or...
I mean, I can kind of, like, retweet, right? Like,
oh, you're going to hit the retweet button? You're still on Twitter. I forgot.
Greatest social media app ever. But
you think so?
We don't have to argue. Twitter.
Twitter is pretty good.
Twitter is one of those things that I just think is like super under monetized and a lot of people use, and I feel like it's undervalued. But I don't know.
Keep it that way.
I mean,
before it becomes defunct like Tumblr or all those other social media platforms.
I get so much news and learn so much from Twitter that it's
a lot of great accounts to follow on there.
Yeah, I don't know. It's almost like invaluable to my like media consumption. but
okay.
But I digress. Fair enough.
I digress. I think I did a. I think Sinead had me do a class or a paper about this of like getting your news from social media, but. And it's a lot of people, basically. Everyone gets their news from social media to a degree because mm-hmm. who can trust the regular news media, right? Shout out to my guy, Nick, wherever he is right now. Media Speaks. Check it out.
Nice plug.
Yeah, I had to plug the homie real quick. If you guys haven't listened to that episode, go check it out. It was a good one. But yeah, so give me a more in-depth retweet of your 2020. Yeah.
Because
you were in school when things started popping off, which must have been interesting.
In school, right? So 2020 was like amazing to start. I had probably the best group of friends I've ever been around. Life was going really well. School for me was like a very much upward trajectory. Started freshman year very, very low and kind of finished towards.
Starting getting all the hoes in senior year, starting to get everything go his way. You know, he was prospering.
Yeah, the dominoes started falling in place.
The domino effect, that's how it happens. Guy glows up, you know, grows his hair out. He's getting the attention. I like it.
And then everything kind of came crashing down,
right? And then 2 months later, yeah.
It's funny how that works. Life gives you everything and then snatches it away.
Smacks
super
you right
quickly.
In the face. Easy come, easy go.
Yeah, and I think that's the major takeaway, right? That you can have all these kind of blessings rolling your way, and then in a matter of literally a 15-minute email from St. Joe's, like a five-minute read, that can get like taken away completely. So
yeah.
2020 was definitely one to forget, but there was one to forget.
I like that.
Yeah, but personally, a lot of good stuff happened. Obviously, the pandemic was not ideal. Was more than not ideal. Was pretty terrible, just as far as what, like, from a personal perspective, what it did socially, kind of the psychological impact, I think, of being away from everybody, particularly after living in such a fishbowl of just, like, social activity for so long, being sucked out of that arena so quickly was interesting, challenging, and just presented an interesting challenge as far as
some opportunities for growth, I guess.
100%. And that's kind of how I looked at it. And I think I kind of succeeded and kind of didn't. There was some areas that I was happy with as far as all the time I was given. What did you really do with that? And then there was some areas that I could say I wasted. I wasted a whole lot of time. But there's always a little give and take, I think, with everything that you do. So
I agree.
Yeah. So, and it kind of progressed similar to what you were saying. Started out kind of February, March, April phase. Very challenging, tough to acclimate to the different environment, not being able to see everybody. And then normalized a little bit come summer, come fall, kind of once you fall into routine, which is weird to say fall into routine because it's going to be interesting to try to transition out of this, right? What's it going to look like on the other side? Also name drop. What's the
end game, if you will?
What's the end game? But it's weird to even like, I have a hard time even like remembering what it was like to be social or what it was like to go and like
go to a concert
and just like hang out. Yeah. Go to a concert. Yeah. Like going to Made in America feels like so distant and so like weird.
Yeah. That's
now.
Not for the next probably like 3 years, I would imagine.
I don't even know. Just like thinking about being around all those people at this point, even going to a restaurant and stuff feels like
it's uncomfortable. Yeah.
Alien almost. So it's going to be interesting kind of turning into 21 late half of the year, what that's going to be like, kind of how that reacclimation is going to go. And it's something I'm excited for because I really want to get back to kind of like the real world and what a new normal, like you said, kind of cliche at this point, is going to look like. But I'm excited for that to come down the pipeline. So 2020 and yeah, to kind of conclude, yeah, to kind of conclude 2020, I guess from a personal perspective was definitely a year of a lot of growth, but also a year of a lot of challenge and a lot of difficulty as far as trying to maneuver through what 2020 threw at me. But I'm glad it's over, and I'm hoping that 2021 can kind of have a little bit more light at the end of the tunnel, because like you said, 2020 was shot after shot after shot of just BS continually.
Yeah.
So
yeah, definitely came with a lot of haymakers in 2020 for everyone, pretty much, not just us. But Yes, I completely retweet everything you said. And one thing I think, and that's the thing, I still don't think, you know, with moving into the new year now, because, you know, today's the 4th, so technically we are in the new year, even though it's not that much, but I'm still have the 2020 funk on me, like as if I hadn't taken a shower for like, you know, the whole year. Like I can't get rid of that, just like that fog or funk that 2020 put me in. And I'm hoping that, you know, it's something I can shake off towards the beginning of 2021 and then hopefully get back to normal Dimitri programming for the remainder of 2021, whatever you want to say. But that remains to be seen, because, I mean, as we're going to talk about in the next segment of this show, that things are still kind of up in the air to a degree of how things are really going to go in terms of, I mean, really everything negative that happened this year. Like, nothing has had a conclusion. Like, 2020 was not just like, okay, everything was encapsulated in 2020, then we moved to 2021, it's good. It's like, it's carrying over, and it's going to carry over for the next probably year and a half, 2 years maybe. I'm no scientist, but, you know, just my armchair perspective.
Massive cliffhanger, right? A lot of more question marks and whys, right? Or I guess whys and hows, rather than actual like tangible answers to probably all of the problems that came out of 2020.
Literally all of them.
Whether it be health, whether it be inequality, whether it be education, whether it be anything, there's much more question marks left than any answers, which is a little frightening, but.
Yeah, way more answers than we have questions, unfortunately. But I guess since we're already kind of alluding to it, let's get into that side of things. So 2020 from a macro perspective, now that we've done the micro. And this is honestly the more important perspective, to be honest, rather than our individual 100%. Ones, because this is what has affected everyone over the past year, us included. And these events have shaped the world that we're living in, at least in America. Honestly, worldwide, all these problems are seem to be an issue. So, so 2020, I'm going to kind of do it on a timeline similar to how we did for our individual breakdown. So, I mean, the year started off as any year starts off, you know, we're seeing about this mysterious virus going on in China. We don't really know what it's about. You know, they're calling it COVID-19. I'm like, what the hell is COVID-19? They're calling it coronavirus, whatever. And, you know, they're showing you all these pictures of like, you know, ferrets in cages over in China and like all these weird, like, live animal markets that I didn't know existed, wet markets they were calling them actually, that I didn't know existed until this whole thing started to break. And then you see China goes into lockdown, and you see the U.S. is kind of just like, ah, we'll be fine. And we take no precautions whatsoever. So when our day of reckoning came, and it did come,
and
pause. I think it originally started, correct me if I'm wrong, it originally started at a nursing home in Washington, D.C., I want to say.
Washington State, I believe.
Washington State. And it just kind of spread from there. It was kind of like, oh, and I will never forget this till the day I die, hopefully no time soon, that I remember I was talking to one of my my friends who was in the health field, and he was like, dude, we get stuff like COVID all the time. You know, like it's gonna be here and there. It's like the seasonal flu. We might lose 1,000 people, 10,000 people at most, and we'll be good to go. He was wrong. He was very wrong. He was so off base. It was insane. He couldn't have been any more wrong. Because then the world exploded. Then we went into the shutdown. Then the numbers started rising. Then hospital systems started to get overwhelmed. Then people started to have financial troubles. Then people started to get evicted. Then landlords started to have to foreclose on their own properties. Then, you know, it just kept on snowballing. Oh, even at the beginning, the shortages at grocery stores, like where you couldn't find toilet paper. You couldn't find toilet paper because everyone lost their mind and started like hoarding things. Like we were going into DayZ type lockdown situation with zombies, like zombie apocalypse style. I'm like, people. Jeez.
How long does that feel, man? The toilet paper.
Yeah, with the toilet paper, the great toilet paper shortage of 2020. That's what we're going to coin in the
Lysol.
I remember I went to the cleaning section of Giant, and it was empty on both sides. I mean, not even a paper towel or Windex to be found. It was crazy. I remember that part of the year it's insane, because I remember that first trip I took to the grocery store. I'm like, damn, am I gonna have to start like really like trying to ration and like figure out what I'm gonna do here? Like, I got some sausage and beans, and I'm just like, am I gonna be eating this for the next like 6 months?
Gonna be the purge out here, man.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, are people gonna like kick in my door and like kill me for my PS3? Like, what's going on? Not even the PS4. I only have a PS3. But that's how savage it was getting out here. Like, they were gonna just do all types of crazy stuff. And it was kind of getting a little bit like it's getting a little bit worrisome. But yeah, it just continued to get worse, and you're watching the news cycle, and everything's terrible. There was no good news for the first like 7 months of this year. Like, all you were seeing was just, this terrible is happening in this country, this terrible is happening in your country, and it just kept on going. Cities that they had like the coronavirus heat map of like, where the outbreaks are, and it's literally outbreaks everywhere. So I don't even know why they're giving the heat map. Like,
whole country is red.
Yeah, exactly. The whole country is red. So I'm like, guys, we get it. All right, we get it. And I remember they were counting at the beginning. I'm not sure if you remember this stage. Actually, I remember a lot of this very vividly, because it was surprising because I don't have a good memory. But I remember near the beginning they were counting to see, oh well, this state doesn't have any positive cases yet. You know, maybe we can take an example from them and see what. And then it's just like the next day, oh, Wisconsin just came up with 1,500 cases today. It's like, dude, people already have it. It's just they're not getting tested. Then you had Donald Trump coming out, well, tests are actually available in all major cities and populations, and if you need a test, you can get one.
So weird.
It was crazy. I literally don't have any words for it, because it was just, there was no like direction from the government. States had to like implement their own things just completely on their own devices and figure it out. The president was just lying. The president was damn near drinking bleach on camera. Like, you can't, like, that's like some George Orwellian type crap. Like, that's crazy.
Maybe
that,
it'll
you
work.
Never know, exactly. If he had just drank bleach and died on camera, I wouldn't have batted an eye. I would have been like, all right, I mean, now we just need to get Mike Pence out of here. Maybe we'll actually like get something done. The vampire himself, right? The count. But it was just, it was crazy. It was ridiculous. And this just continued. Like, this went on for weeks and weeks and months to the point where it's like May, June, and we're still looking around like Mr. Krabs meme. Like what's going on here? Like, why do we have we don't have any kind of consensus or any type of direction. Even now you can argue we don't have any direction, and we're in a new year.
Zero.
It's incredible. And to rewind, actually no, I'll keep going coronavirus and then we'll come back. And to keep going, then the summer months, oh, don't worry, it's in the summer months, you know, it's gonna get warmer, so the virus is gonna, it ramps up in the summer months. I'm just like, people, like, we don't even know what we're talking about here. And it was just heartbreaking hearing all the stories and people who were affected and people who lost their jobs and people who were on the street who weren't on the street just 6 months ago. Like, you know, people who had regular lives just had their lives ruined. And it just that's what put me, I mean, of course, my own personal problems, but that's what put me into the fog as well, of just like, not only is my life not going well, but no one else's life is going well. Like, entertainers, restaurateurs, people who work in the restaurants, anyone in the service industry got screwed badly by 2020. Even if you were in a regular industry, your company might just shut down because they just weren't an essential service, or they didn't have the means to switch over to a remote working environment. And, you know, all this crazy stuff, or they had a COVID outbreak, or, you know, whatever. And then you're seeing all these celebrities, prime ministers, government officials catch the virus. And you're like, well, if they don't know what the heck they're doing, like, what chance do the rest of us got? And it's just, it was crazy. And like I'm saying, or like I said, we still necessarily haven't gotten much direction of where to go even now. It's just, like I said, we've normalized it. We've gotten used to it. We've wore the mask. Some people have wore the mask. Some people are still kind of on the whole boat of like, hey, it's not true. I believe in real science. Which is insane that we even have to even debate the fact that wearing a mask would reduce the transmission of a deadly virus. I don't know, like, I don't know how that doesn't just make sense to the common individual. But it's just, it was crazy. But then rewind on top of that. Oh, au contraire, there's more. But wait, there's more. Like, what was the guy who used to do the ShamWow commercials? Remember the ShamWow? Like, the guy who had the guy who had the spiked up hair, and he's just like, hey, I'll throw in two more ShamWows for $24.99 if you buy right now. That guy popped out. He was like, yeah, free shipping as well. It's only going to take 13 months, but, you know, it's free shipping.
It's going to get there.
It's gonna get there eventually. We have to send it by barge. I'm sorry, we couldn't send it by plane. We had to send it by a slow moving boat. But and on top of that, fuel to the fire, fuel to the terrible government, and, you know, the last year of the Don's reign. Finally, fuel on top of that, coronavirus, police brutality, social unrest thrown on top of all that stuff, as if the year wasn't bad enough. The killing of George Floyd, the killing of so many. The killing or injuring of so many innocent protesters, the killing of Breonna Taylor. It's just like the killing of Ahmaud Arbery. It's crazy. Like, so many things were happening. So many people were dying because of the virus. So many people were dying or getting hurt or having traumatic incidences because of the police and the government themselves. And it was just, it was crazy. And then finally people couldn't take it anymore and finally took to the streets. I mean, in riots like I've never seen in the U.S. in my lifetime, or even maybe in the previous lifetime. I mean, like, I would have to go back and really sit down and compare it to something, but just the sheer volume of people that you saw, like, they do maybe overhead shots, like, kind of skyscraper perspectives of New York City, and it's just people filling all the streets, as if you, like, you know when you're pouring a bowl of cereal, then you pour the milk, and the milk starts to, like, fill up the cracks of it?
Yeah.
That's what it looked like in terms of people on the street. Like, it was crazy. And you're seeing police, like, beating people to death in the street, basically, you know, for holding up signs or for, you know, doing things. I remember the one video where they pushed over the old guy and he, like, smacked his head on the pavement. Yeah. And it's like blood started pouring out of his ears. And then when they realized the cameras were on, they tried to, like, pick him up and, like, act like it wasn't happening. People getting shot by rubber bullets, police sticking their hands out of the car and pepper spraying protesters on the side of the highway. I mean, police driving SUVs through groups of people and crowds of people. I mean, all this crap we saw, like, I saw it with my own eyes. I remember this distinctly. I had to get off Twitter because I was like, I can't take this anymore. Like, it on Twitter, you were seeing some type of law or social norm or something broken every day. And and the relationship was police beating down citizen. Like, every single day you saw that. Every single day.
Crazy.
It was insane. Like, I was refreshing. It's just like, oh, here's a video of this happening. Refresh. Here's a video of this happening. Refresh. Here's a video of this person in the hospital. Here's a video of this protest that turned violent. You know, it's crazy. Then you had people coming from the other side, from Donald Trump's side. And yes, I'm going to dub it Donald Trump's side because I think he's the person who dredged up he's the person who popularized the dregs of society, kind of coming out of the woodwork, out of, you know, rural Pennsylvania and rural, you know, wherever, Midwest, Montana, all those flyover states, Wyoming, all those people. And they got involved in it from the other perspective of, no, we have to protect the officers. The officers are innocent. They're just trying to do their jobs. And it was, dude, it was crazy. Like, it was crazy. I'm exasperated just talking about it. But you know what happened. Like, if you lived through this year, if you're listening to this, you know what happened. I shouldn't even have to explain this. You know the shit that was going on.
Crazy.
And it just made for a terrible year. Like, I tried to start this on a lighthearted, positive note, but as I talk about it more, this is really a shitty year. Like, just from just all throughout. And the worst part about it, as we alluded to on the last podcast, which you guys won't hear this part of the last podcast, you'll probably hear the first part when we talk about Playboi Carti, but as we were talking about that second half, there's no ending to this. Like, nothing happened with the injustices of and the killings of Ahmaud Arbery. I mean, technically his people got locked up, but it took forever, and it almost didn't happen if there wasn't indisputable evidence, and even then, I don't think the case is completely closed. George Floyd killers, I'm not really sure what's going on with them. I mean, maybe they went to jail. Maybe they lost their jobs. The one dude was trying to, like, elope and flee the country, but they caught him at customs, hilariously. Breonna Taylor's killers are still at large. Like, you know, they got fired or got some type of, I think one of them maybe got some type of, like, slap on the wrist. But at the same time, the rest of them are just scot-free. And it's just, like, there's been no bookend. There's been no conclusion. There's been no major legislation or cultural paradigm shift in the direction of positive change throughout this year. I struggle to find one. I mean, there's been many wins along the way, but nothing that you can say, damn, you know, 2020 was terrible, but hey, at least we did X, Y, and mm-hmm. Z. Like, even the vaccine, like, that's still very much up in the air
of whether that's screwed up right now too. Yeah,
it's like, dude, it's crazy. any, I'll put it this way. Any L that we could have taken this year, we took it. Every single one. We tripped on every single pebble. We took every step back. The country took like 50 steps back this year. We already took 20 steps back when Donald Trump got elected as president, because even saying that is still mind-blowing. And then on top of this, it all came on top when we had to see how bad his leadership truly was, when we actually were in a crisis.
I want to pause you there because I think it's important. No, that's an important point, because it's like in one of my, I guess, one of the podcasts I listen to by Scott Galloway, who I love, he says it's a shame.
Scotty Galloway.
It's a shame to waste a good crisis, which sounds a little bit almost a little bit, I don't know, just like not right. But it's very true if you think about it, right? Because when you do have these kind of things happen, you can't just let these questions linger. You have to find some sort of revolution, because out of crisis, you know, what you're supposed to happen is you're supposed to find an answer.
There's supposed to be
crisis.
Some type of revelation at the end. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some light at the end of the tunnel.
Crises can be horrible, but at the other side of that, there needs to be an answer.
Development, innovation, something, some type 100%. Of forward movement. We're still in the tunnel.
No, and what the U.S. has done here is we've gone through all these crises, and there's been no answer, no resolution, and I don't want to use the word wasted, but you've basically wasted them, because you've had all this horrible stuff happen, which what's happened has happened. It's really what you can control now is how you react to what has happened, how you deal with what has happened, and that's where we're really failing, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I give credit, and this is the silver lining. This is even a silver lining, because a lot of these people had to risk their lives and die because of the lack of management and leadership. But the health system of the United States, while it had very little guidance from the top and very little assistance from the people who should have been advising and preparing for something like this, I do have to take my and to the protesters as well, because I told about the terrible things that happened to them, but I didn't give them their just due. I mean, for people to take on their everyday job, like I do my job every day. I do my job pretty well every day. But if you had to go to work and say, wow, I have to risk my life to go to my job today. Like, on any day, I could catch the coronavirus. We don't have a vaccine. We don't have any real treatment. And I could be the one on the ventilator. Oh, wait, we don't have enough ventilators, so I'm probably just going to die. And you still have to go to work knowing that for like 7 months, 8 months out of the year. And that's just your reality. And it's like, okay, well, you know, I could just say, like, forget it. I'm going on unemployment. Like, I'm a doctor. I'm a nurse. Like, I should have a decent amount of savings. I can weather the storm. But it's like, we need you at the same time. Like, there was a shortage, and there currently still is probably in some places, a shortage of nurses and doctors and trained health professionals. Like, they were getting, like, and like, hey, do you, you took a biology class, right, back in high school? Yeah. Come over here. We need you to help out. Like, that's how bad it got. So those people had to sacrifice their own lives. And instead of, you know, cowering away, they all stepped up to the challenge. It was amazing to see, but it was also very sad to see that we had to overtax that group of people in our society while they're also battling their own issues at home or in their personal lives or you know whatever. And on top of that, you had regular, everyday, average Joe Schmo, make your coffee at Starbucks people, not to look down on them in any way, but I'm just saying regular people who were just going about their everyday lives, doing their thing, had to take to the streets and basically do hand-to-hand combat with the police. I mean, I'm seeing people like disarm tear gas and like all this random stuff. I'm like, when did we even learn how to do that? But people learn how to do it just out of the situation. And I mean, I guess you could say it's the amazing part of human ingenuity and togetherness that we said, like, all right, no. Like, we have to do something with this. We have to organize. We have to mobilize. We have to do something. We have to take to the streets and get active, as the kids say. And you saw that, and it was incredible it was amazing to see that happen. I mean, across all 50 states, across the entire world, I mean, you could say in major cities or major countries rather, that there was protests going on for what happened. And it was, I mean, it was incredible. That's the word I keep using, or incredible or amazing or, whatever, but it was almost captivating to see every day what people were doing in the name of freedom and in the name of equality. And it was very motivating to a degree. I mean, it was very heartwarming, but at the same time, very sad, because, I mean, you saw the same thing. It's not like, okay, like the protest started and at the end, you know, Breonna Taylor's killers were brought to justice. Derek Chauvin was put in prison for the rest of his life. You know, those are the endings that we are looking for. You know, even if you couldn't find a coronavirus vaccine, fine, science, like you, it takes time. You know, we're gonna have to take time with that. But it's like, you couldn't even give the people the social justice and the recompense that they deserve, like the repayment that they deserved of for having to see this one on their television screen, to have to worry about their child, their son, their daughter, whoever, their wife, their husband being subjected to the same things that they saw on their television screen. You couldn't give them that either. You know, there was nothing, you know, it was just violence in the street with a cause, of course. A lot that wasn't incited by the protesters, by the way, popular to what the news media or a certain section of the news media would like you to believe. And it was just it was insane. It was actually insane. And now we're here. And now we're in 2021. And now we're all kind of like, I remember I saw this one meme someone sent me at work via Slack. Where it was like 2020 and it was like this little Charlie Brown kid, and he was like punning 2020 out of the frame. And I was like, that's pretty funny. But at the same time, like, the problems of 2020 have not gone anywhere. Like, the coronavirus is still killing record amounts of people each day. Police brutality is still very much a thing. The government of this country is still very much split. This country itself is very much split. I didn't even talk about the election. Oh my God, we're going to be here all day. I'll just do a quick thing on the election. The election was it was like an emotional roller coaster, because you thought that, damn, Donald Trump is really about to win again. Then Biden comes back. Then Donald Trump kind of comes back. Then you're hearing that the ballots might not be counted. Then you're hearing that the mail-in ballots for your county or your state might not make it in time, because apparently there's this rule where some ballots will be counted, some won't. And then Democrats are like, no, we have to count them. Republicans are like, no, we don't. But only in the states that Donald Trump lost in, not the other ones. You know, it's just all these crazy things going on. In the end, of course, it did go in the better direction. I won't say it went in some amazing direction of like, oh, now we're saved. Biden and McCullough, our savior, or McCullough, Kamala, our saviors. You know, I'm not going to say all that, but it did go it could have went a lot worse. So I'm going to say that was one win. But at the same time, and we talked about this on the podcast afterwards, the country is still very much divided. Those 70 million people didn't just sink back into the soil. Like, they're still there. They're still, you know, doing their thing and thinking the things that they're thinking. And not all of those are, you know, people with zero teeth left in their mouth, and they live off in like a cornfield somewhere. Those are people who lived in metropolitan cities, people who are educated, people who are, you know, functioning, productive members of society, went out and said, you know, Donald Trump is the guy I want. Why is that? Why did we get here? How did we get here? How do we get back to normalcy? Not even normalcy, honestly. How do we get better? Because normalcy was not great either, if we're really being honest. And it was just, this year... As I think about it more, this year really sucked. And now we're here, 2021. We've punted 2020 out of the frame. We're hoping that 2021 is going to be better, hoping against hope, hoping against our better reasoning, to be honest, because coronavirus is not going anywhere. I'm sorry to tell you people. And what can be done? Where do we go? What can be done? And I can give you guys a little sneak peek. Well, not even a sneak peek, because you're never going to listen to it. But insight into the last episode. I didn't know what was going to be done. I thought about it for a few days. So now we're going to record today. I still don't know what's going to happen. I'm still not really sure what the lesson is. But yeah, that's 2020, a year in review. Honestly, if you want me to be completely dead honest, that's what happened.
What a recap.
It was quite the recap. I think that's one of the best recaps I've ever done. I need some water now. Wow. But that was 2020. That set the scene. In case you guys didn't know, in case you were living under a rock, that was 2020. But I want to be honest with this recap and not say, hey, well, you know, I did get a really good Black Friday deal. Because no one cares about that. Like, at the same time, these major problems are still an issue. And whether the news media addresses them, whether your favorite politician or your favorite pundit or your favorite talking head on TV addresses it or not, these things that I listed are still very much problems. And as much as I want people to be comfortable in their lives and be able to enjoy life, because, I mean, and I remember this quote distinctly. I probably always will. When a basketball coach, Doc Rivers, had to become basically like a pillar for social justice, he's like, I'm just a basketball coach. Like, why is this even happening to the point that we all have to take up this mantle? I'm glad that we did have people that step up and take that mantle, and I'm glad that we had a say in it. But at the same time, these shouldn't even be issues at all. You know, it's the same time, it's a bigger fundamental issue than always having to fight the system when the problem is the system. You know what I mean? So it's just... Oh man, it's just a lot. So now looking back at the end, and from an honest perspective, it's just it's still a lot of work to be done, and I'm not really sure necessarily what that work may be. I remember we did the police episode, and we really dove deep into that. Go back and check that one out if you haven't. I don't remember what episode number it is, but it was good. we dove deep into that, but it's just, it's a lot of unanswered questions. And I think you said this in your take, a lot of questions posed and a lot of answers not given. And right. that's kind of where we're sitting at right now. I mean, we do have some positive things on the horizon. The vaccine is rolling out. The rollout's kind of weird. We knew it would be because you have to distribute this to like a record amount of people in a record amount of time. It's all these records being broken. It's unprecedented. I'll use that word, you know, keep the theme. You know, that's coming up. Biden's going to be getting sworn in a few weeks here. We're getting the Don out finally. Hopefully he gets arrested for one of his many crimes after he leaves office. Probably not. You know, in the U.S., probably not. But we're getting Biden and Kamala in there. Hopefully that's going to change things in a better direction. And yeah, I mean, those are two things that are happening. Of course, you know, everyone has their own pluses and minuses in their regular life, but I mean, that's the only things I really see right now. I'm not sure if you want to kind of put a bow on this one, Alex, in terms of how you're kind of feeling, but
you've left me.
I've left you nothing to say. I'm sorry. I talked up all the airtime.
Difficult task.
I gave you it's like when the shot clock's running down to like 3 and I just like pass the ball off to you, like save me, like hit, make a bucket. That's dribbled, basically what I
just dribbled for 2.5 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. I dribbled for like out the, that was it, 24 shot clock. I dribbled out 20 seconds of it, then I gave you a bad pass, and then now you have to make
pull
something
up from
happen.
3-quarter court, man.
Yeah, exactly.
What do I want to say? Well, this is why it was so hard for me to, I think, explain how my year went, cuz I think it's really hard to at least for me, to distinguish what was going on outside my own personal sphere with what was going on within my own personal sphere. Because so much stuff happening outside leaked back in, which almost made it impossible. Because regardless of whether I was having like many wins within the year, whether I was experiencing growth or whatever, all this other external stuff was happening, which my small victories are like a drop in the bucket of what's actually important in the world.
And that's what made them feel insignificant to a degree.
Very, yeah. And that's what made it challenging to, I think, try to navigate through the year. Because regardless of if you were doing well or if you were having a good day, there was always something that would come down the pipeline that was more significant and really more important than necessarily how you were doing or how you were feeling on any given day. And that would take precedence. I guess the only thing I really want to double back on is essential workers in general, more than just healthcare workers. All the people that were working at Amazon, the Walmart, if they didn't exist or if they weren't there or if they decided to stop working, we would have crumbled from a supply chain perspective as far as delivering anything.
Shout out to grocery store workers, all those people, pharmacy workers.
Whether it be food, whether it be essentials that all those Amazon drivers and UPS drivers and FedEx drivers delivered.
Those they were like, it was ubiquitous. Like, you saw them on every corner. If you sat at like a busy 4-way intersection, you'd see like 10 Amazon Prime vans drive through in like the span of like 5 minutes. No lie. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah, and what did the government do for them? They gave them one $1,200 check in May, waited 8 months, and then we're going to get another $600 one, possibly. So, yeah, withstanding.
Take this racky real quick.
Withstanding the incredible failures of the federal government in supporting any essential workers throughout this pandemic, they stepped up and did their job for very little.
Shout out to the state governing bodies as well. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, yeah, what were you going
to
say?
They also did they did their thing. They had to take up the role that the federal government wasn't playing, right? I only thought this because you just said the withstanding the extreme failure of the federal government. The slack had to be picked up by the state governors, by mayors, by all these people who, I mean, are leaders, but at the same time, isn't going to set the tone. They had never really had to do something on this wide of a scale before or deal with something like this. And this is really their area of expertise. They're not planning for a pandemic. Like, that's not what they do on a day-to-day basis. But a lot of them did step up. A lot of them did make good decisions. And lives were saved because of that. So, just want to add that in.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think one of my at least personal takeaways is, it's interesting to see how the government once again chose corporations over people as far as how they wanted to address assistance, particularly monetary assistance in largely the first stimulus package, a lot of which went to bailing out airlines, bailing out corporations, and not as much as I think should have went to actual people that actually needed it and deserved it, such as the frontline essential workers. The Fed bought billions of dollars worth of Apple, Berkshire, Microsoft bonds. Yeah, right?
Gang.
Because God knows. God knows.
Got to make sure gang is straight, right? Got to make sure Berkshire, Apple, all my boys are eating.
God knows Tim Cook needs his bonds bought by the Federal Reserve.
He got to make sure his family's okay.
Yeah. So I would, that was also one of the major takeaways that I think is a little bit slept on.
Very slept on.
Yeah. What aid looked like, how it was distributed, and how the government, once again, similar to 2008, chose big business against Main Street and against people. And unfortunately, it doesn't look like there's going to be a whole lot of lesson learned from that as far as what our takeaways are. Similar to what you said a couple minutes ago, what's the end goal here? Look, it seems like we got screwed over once again, and there's going to be no repercussions for it. So that's kind of
definitely feels like a gotcha moment.
100%. But that's the whole end of 2020, right? It's a giant gotcha because we've had all these problems and there's been promises for solutions, but there's going to be no, at least in my pessimistic, non-optimistic point of view, there's not going to be a whole lot of tangible solutions rolling down the pipeline. It's going to be the can kicked down the road further and further until people forget and more pressing issues come up. And that is my bow.
and that's how he puts a bundle on it. I mean, at this point, like I said, the story is still being written. The story is being written that while the ball is in the air to a degree. Like, we're still trying to figure out which way this is going to go. It's already went really bad.
But it's like Dwight Howard pulling up from three and the ball's in the air, man. It's not going to – the chances of it going in are like
– But Dwight Howard has been working on his form, though. So maybe, you know,
it's going
to
hit off the side of the backboard.
Yeah, right. I'm not even looking for it to go in. I would be very much okay with a good rebound and like a strong put back by someone. You know, like I don't think we're going to start off this year on the right foot by any means. But as long as we can end 2020, this is my ask. If we can end 2021 on a better foot, I guess I'd accept that. I won't say getting back to normal, because I think normal's gone and normal kind of sucked to a certain degree, especially when we're talking about the social injustice. That was always going on, by the way. And let's say that too. This is not new, right? But as long as we can end off 2021 on a better foot, I guess, from where we're currently standing, I'll take that as a win. If we can get, you know, a decent amount of the population, I believe the correct term is inoculated, in terms of getting the virus or getting the vaccine for the virus, you know, that's a win. If we can, when the federal government kind of changes hands in terms of going from the Don to JoJo, and we can get that kind of in a better space, that is a win to a degree. Like I said, and I think probably what we said when Donald Trump was initially kind of a thing going on in the world, that the world took steps back with this. Like, it did. These last 4 years, we took a lot of steps back as a country, and not a lot of steps forward in many areas. So it's going to be, and this is what we talked about when Joe got elected, it's going to be the climb back. Shout out to J. Cole. You know, we're going to have to figure out how we can got to slip him in there no matter what. We got to figure out how we can get back to a better, how we can not even get back, get to a better state of understanding. Obama did his thing to a degree. You know, he also made many mistakes. Let's be honest. He also did things wrong. He also did get sandbagged by the other party. You know, there was a lot of things at work. But he left us in a place and it's just like, all right, we can work with that. You know, he passed us the ball with 12 seconds left on the shot clock. And he's like, okay, I can create something. But then we got the Don, and it's just like we went right back, you know? We went back for – we were on the cusp of winning a championship. Like, we were a playoff team. And then we like, both of our players got traded, and then we went back to the lottery. And now we have to climb our way all the way back up again. And that takes time. You know, I won't be done in Joe Biden's presidency. Probably won't be done in the next presidency. It might not be done in our lifetime that we actually see a society that we can say, you know, I'm pretty proud of this. But – hopefully, incrementally, slowly, we can take the steps to become better. And to a degree, I don't really have the roadmap to get there. And that's the problem with these issues. Like, you can bolt them out as a list of like things, and it's almost like endless. And it's like, where do we even begin with this? But if there has to be a silver line that we put on this, the awareness is up to a degree. Granted, I can say it's fallen off in the past maybe 4 or 5 months or so, but the awareness is higher than it's ever been of the issues going on in this country. At the end of the day, we did make the right some people made the right decision to get the Don out of office. So at least the majority of people know what the hell is going on. I'll take that as a W, because at this point I have to take something as a W. The majority of people do know what's going on. And as we always say on this podcast, it's going to be getting buy-in from the other side that is going to be the true progression. Because if we just stay at the stalemate, that we'll never move forward. Like, it's always going to be, we're going to make these steps forward, then we're going to come right back. Then we're going to make these steps forward, then we're going to come right back. The only way is to kind of get on a united front, which is what we kind of saw with these protests, you know, black, white, purple people taking to the street if they wanted to be in body paint, you know, whatever. Like, people taking to the street and making their voices known and coming together and saying, you know, damn, this is really messed up. And it's unfortunate it took a travesty, another tragedy to finally get people to open their eyes, to a degree, because not everyone did. Some people will still say he deserved to die, which, you know, we're not even going to get into that right now. But, you know, that did happen. Maybe we're seeing, maybe this negative event is the shifter that we need for the rest of the country to hopefully get on the same page. I don't know. And if you want me to be pessimistic, I can, but I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to end the podcast on a sad note. We're already 54 minutes in. So that's been the year in review from the transitions perspective. We gave you our micro. We gave you the macro. We gave it to you honest. Like, I don't think we did much sugarcoating. Hopefully, we're going to have a better year. I mean, the transition podcast was a bright spot of the year. We're back. You know, hey, that's one thing that happened in 2020. So, hey, that's one thing you have to be looking forward to in 2021 and beyond. Yeah, we'll catch you guys in the next one, I guess. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Make sure to follow us on the Transition_Pod on Instagram for all our sneak peek behind the scene content and all that good stuff. Enjoy your 2021. Hopefully it goes well. Fingers crossed. See you guys in the next one. Peace.